Were you being a dick?
No, I asked him to come in, and then he didn't come in, and then so I asked him to come in again.
You just not asked nicely enough the first time.
I guess not. It's a bit sensitive, is our
Craig. You have to put please at the end now. Otherwise, no, fuck you.
Hey everybody, and welcome to the Seal Podcast, episode number 167 for the 17th of March, 2023. I am Fraser. Yes. Sound like a robot. I am Fraser, joined by, this is Neil.
Hello.
On right, Dave.
Hello.
You all right, boys? Are we well?
No.
Why is that?
Got a cough.
Oh.
Hopefully it's just a cough.
I hope so. Nothing worse.
Mm.
Well, I mean, you have the cough, just a cough.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, it could be an irritation?
I woke up with it this morning. I was like,
I was going to say, is it a new cough or is it a persistent cough?
Yes, new.
Yeah.
It's not really persistent. That's what they used to say, wasn't it, in the old days? Those 2 years ago. Yeah. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
If you so like,
if you're live, obviously it won't be. If you're not,
we hope you enjoyed St. Patrick's Day. If you're listening in the future,
yeah,
I remember St. Patrick's Day being a lot bigger thing than it is now.
Depends where you are, probably.
Yeah.
Well, probably got shit on a bit the last couple of years, didn't it? With COVID, people not going out as much. I mean, it's a huge deal. I'd say it's a big deal almost. Most of the English-speaking world, would you not think? It's just a great excuse for everybody.
I speak English, man.
Gaelic.
Is that their native tongue?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yes, Mark. Mark could tell us.
Mark's
Mark
in
could
the
educate
chat.
Us. Mark can educate us. All right. Okay. Well, let's move on. Move away from this quality waffle. What do you got for us, Neil, in the footy?
Right, are we going straight to the football?
We always do.
Okay, I've lost my little speech. There we go. So let's go to the right page. This is fucking quality, isn't it? So there were a few upsets in the Prem last week. The previously mighty looking Reds of Liverpool lost to lowly Bournemouth 1-0, and a certain Mo Salah missed a penalty, which probably went down well with some people.
It did not.
But I'm sure it didn't. Everton snatched a win from double game week Brentford 1-0. Leeds held informed Brighton 2-2 at home, and Leicester continued to be a bit shit and lost at home to Chelsea 3-1. Spurs defied the form book and actually managed to win a game at home to Forest 3-1. Man City won away at Palace 1-0, and Arsenal smashed Fulham 3-0 away. Man United.
Have you done notes?
I'm reading off a slew of script. Stop it. Man United had Casemiro sent off again, second time in his career, both at Man United, and only managed a 0-0 draw at Old Trafford on Sunday with Southampton, which was a bit of a fucking bummer for me. West Ham and Aston Villa played out a 1-1 draw in the David Cameron confusion derby. And Newcastle came out on top of Wolves 2-1 at James's Park. In the second round of fixtures for Brighton, they won 1-0 over Palace. And Brentford came back to form and beat Southampton 2-0 away. So, player points-wise, all of those games.
I tell you what, are we dressing ourselves up in red, white and blue this week? Holy.
Who's that for?
Yeah, for all the Americans, all the septics, and how well they did. Oh, my word.
I wasn't going on to the actual scores yet. I'm going into the individual player performances for the FPL player points.
You what? This is all getting very professional, isn't it?
Isn't it? Yeah, see?
He loves it. No, I don't mind, man. This is your bit. You own this. He is owning it, isn't he?
Someone's trying to butt in, apparently.
Oh, as if you're not a stranger to that.
So, as I said, four teams played twice, but...
See, at the start of his drink, before he's had the drinks getting really stuck into him, right? He's going to complain about me sticking, but once he gets a few beers in, then the boot's going into me later on.
Well, I've cut down on beers anyway, so...
I'm going to be quiet now.
So, anyway, four teams played twice, but a few of the top individual player scores came from players with only one game. Trossard, top scored, got three assists in one half and scored 15 points. Gabriel, in defence for Arsenal, got a goal and a clean sheet, got 14 points. Ivan Toney got two games, but he only returned in the second game with a goal and assist, scored 13. And a Harry Kane scored twice in that Spurs-Forest game to get 13 points. If only someone hadn't changed him a captain at the very last minute there. That would have worked out a lot better. Anyway, Brighton players did okay in their double game. Mitoma got 12. The new keeper, well, the new first-choice keeper, he's been there a while, got 11 points across the two games, and I think he got bonuses in the second game. And Solly March finally got a goal accredited to him, and he also scored 11 points, along with Dwight McNeil of Everton and Jack Harrison of Leeds. There were a few others on 10 points, but they were the big scorers. So, shout out to anyone who added those players. And especially if you captained Trossard, for example, that would have been a right winner. But, scores on the doors in the FPL League. Joel Reeves, the lesser known Joel Reeves, 119 points, but he did bench boost, went up to fifth. Luis Estevez, 107 points. Well, I don't think there's any chips played. He's one of your rivals, isn't he?
He's gonna he is my bro and my rival at the same time. I think we've sort of like been nicely
boosting
each other up the table there, but man,
he's definitely stomped on you last week.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he's gone all fucking Rain Man on us in this game or something.
Well, he managed to move up to sixth place with his points last week. And a Chipper Monster. Spice.
Chipper Spice, another New York resident. She's New York too. The New Yorker's kicking ass this week. Yeah.
Didn't move any points, places up in the league, but 92. Excellent week. I think she had Almiron, who like came back into the fold and scored. But he's missing again tonight, apparently. Right. He's not even in the squad tonight. So he's obviously been a bit injured, I think. So some big points. Like I say, I think only Joel played a chip last week. We've got a top three now of Paul Davies holding on, 1,690 points, which is a pretty amazing total, I've got to be honest. 56 points on the week. Stephen Holdsworth, aka Lord, Quizmaster Lord, who didn't do a quiz this week by the look of it, 1,628 points in second, scored 61, and then I'm still third. I got 73 points last week, and I'm up to 1,611 points.
Yeah, man, I know you got...
Getting that real in a little bit, hit by bit. If I can just keep outscoring those top two, I'll be happy.
Well, you get, I mean, you're definitely within striking distance of second place.
Yeah, I thought for a minute I was going to do it this week, but then he had a good few players in the second games in the midweek as well, so... He had Mitoma, who scored a load of points, I think.
I can't see the scores for the game week, but I think I think Gary had a good week as well.
No, yeah. Honourable mention for Gary. I think he was
honourable mention for another of the Yanks. And I'm not sure if Mike Redmond had a storm.
I can't remember. I think he didn't come up when I was, didn't make an impression when I was going for it. It was dead, like I say, I know Gary was very close to coming third in the week, but I don't know how far behind it was. Yeah. It might have been a few points. I know my son was up there as well.
Oh,
probably dropped himself 30 points as well.
The American wave this week.
So we are in week 27, which means there are a few teams not playing. We've had a fixture this evening that finished 2-1 Newcastle. Alexander Isak was a brilliant transfer in, obviously, this week. If you hadn't had him before, he scored two. Somewhat fortunate, I guess, with a second. I'm sure Christian will be absolutely frothing at that. But sorry, Christian. Next game week, we've got a lot of teams playing twice. So hopefully you've been planning your transfers. I have taken a minus four this week with possible another minus four for next week to make sure I'm in good shape for next week. Didn't really want to take a minus eight in 1 week, but I had a 10 outfield players with my two free transfers, and I was like, umming and ahhing, shall I do the keeper change this week? Because at the end, if they don't keep a clean sheet, this is basically a waste of minus four. But I was like, fuck, I'll be well annoyed if Chelsea keep a clean sheet and I haven't done it. So I put Kepa in for this week and a minus four.
I played my free hit.
This week?
Yes.
Well, this could be good then. This could be
good. I was just, it looked as though I was really going to struggle to put anything out there. And I thought, you know what? When am I going to play it? If I need to make any other big changes, I've still got a wild card. But a free hit's perfect for this week for me because I can just put out a full squad with a bench that can replace if any of them aren't there.
Yeah.
And then back to my old squad, which I was already building up for next week. So
nice. So I like it. So yeah, I had a plan from that. I played my free hit the other week where there was hardly any games. And that was, I felt like that was the right time for me. And I had time to plan it up for this week, but it was always, I was looking all right until Brighton decided to change their goalkeeper, which meant I had to make an extra transfer that I wasn't planning on.
Right.
But yeah, it's got worked out okay so far, I think. We'll see. One of two few things to note. Chipper Spice will love this. Arsenal and Liverpool both failed to progress in Europe this week. An absolute cracking goal from Sporting against Arsenal on the night. Chipped a keeper from about 40 yards out. Absolute belter. Which that put them into like extra time, and then they let, well, they went out on penalties in the end. A bit of a sad to go out on penalties, but you know, it's Arsenal and no one really cares. Man City, Chelsea, West Ham and Man United continue to be involved in Europe, so there might be a bit of squad rotation you might need to be looking out for around the Premier League fixtures. Also, there are FA Cup fixtures this weekend, so by the end of the weekend we'll know who will be missing any more games in the future weeks. I think it's 32, which will be the semi-finals of the FA Cup. So that's the football roundup from me.
Is it? Dave, what did you, how did you approach this week?
I missed the transfer deadline.
Oh, Dave!
About 5 minutes after, I looked at the message, like, oh, half past, so I jumped on the computer. No, I was too late. So, but although I am beating Neil on points, this
what,
week
for tonight's
I've,
game.
I've got I've got 4 points. Neil, you've got.
Well, have you got two Newcastle players?
Yeah. So yeah, right. I'm going to take that as a win.
Cool. Okay, we'll freeze it now.
Yeah. But looking at my team now, I'm set up for the game week 29. Like, yes. Most of my players have got both. Are playing two, and it looks pretty strong. So I got Johnson and Saliba, who were uncertain, but they're benched.
Saliba went off injured last night in the Arsenal game, so
yeah, but they're benched.
Johnson did play this evening, but he's already played and done nothing, so no.
Yeah, I might just sub him out, get a new forward on the who's definitely going to play, maybe have a double week as well.
Yeah, I'm in an R in over the forward change for next week or this week, sorry. And I kept looking at Kai Havertz, and if he scores this weekend, I'll be absolutely not annoyed, because I was like, I just looked at him. He scored a penalty. Who? Kai Havertz, Chelsea. And I just looked at his numbers for the season in Premier League and went, how can anyone pick him? It's absolutely appalling. He scored in about four games, I think, this season. And if otherwise, it's like two or one or zero. And I'm like, I can't put him in my team. So we're probably banging a hat trick.
Who did you?
I went with Ollie Watkins because he's a captain. I've got Saka from Arsenal as captain.
Okay. I went Kane.
Yeah. Well, they've both got tasty looking fixtures, I thought. But, you know, Crystal Palace have now binned off Patrick Vieira. So apparently Roy's back, potentially.
Who?
Roy Hodgson.
Oh, jeez.
He's in talks. They're in talks to bring him back till the end of the season, but we'll see.
Who's your captain, Dave, this week?
I'm just looking at my team now. Let's have a look. Rashford's for next week. This week is, I think it's Haaland.
Uh-oh.
He's not playing.
No. Nope. I know. That was a bit of a mistake on that
one. So what was that? Was Rashford your first choice and Haaland your backup then?
Is
that
you didn't do anything, did you? Oh, yeah, I forgot. No. Sorry, you didn't make use
of it. De Bruyne was my second.
Yeah, I got rid of him finally. I was like, he's been on the hit list for weeks and weeks. And I'm like, oh, I'll just give him one more week because I know the week I take him out, he'll probably do well. And he's been playing well, but just not scoring any points at all. Yeah. And he's loads of money. So he had to go. So I've gambled on James Maddison from Leicester. That was I nearly did the change last week and put Norgaard in, which would have worked out to be a really good move because he actually got 2 assists, I think, or something, and we're both bonus points and stuff. He got 8 points last week, but didn't do it. And I've gambled on Madison.
Madison is actually turning Leicester on my bench.
See how that goes. They're playing. They're away to Brentford, aren't they? So it's not an easy game. I don't think so. That's sort of the game they might actually turn up in because they've been awful. But there we go. Who knows? It's a bit of a gamble either way.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Neil. That's very good. Very well done, mate.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Right. Let's move on to listener mail. Hardly Dan says, check out the new Bobby Fingers video on YouTube. I don't know what that is. I did not check it out.
I did not know what it was when he posted that, but I'd seen him post it in the Discord, Joysticks and Chill Discord earlier. And I was like, that looks weird. And I hadn't played in this. But then I was like, you know, he's put it in the Discord. I'll give it a watch. Thinking it was only going to be a 5-minute video. It's a 25-minute video.
Oh, so Dan.
I said in their Discord, it's one of the weirdest things I've ever watched. And the guy is extremely talented in many ways. So it was funny, but it did go on a bit for my liking for a YouTube. I was like, 5-10 minutes is my max usually on YouTube, he says, as we put a 2-hour show on there every week. but yeah, it's worth a watch if you've got 25 minutes to half an hour to spare. It's quite funny and pretty impressive at the same time. Right. So.
Okay. All right. Bobby Fingers, everyone.
There's two others, apparently, that you would need to watch. This one was about Michael Jackson, where apparently his hair caught fire in a filming of a Pepsi commercial. Once. Yeah, this is all based on a real thing. And there's another
two.
No, it's not something. I didn't really do Michael Jackson.
I remember that. I'm younger than you, but yeah. He got a big payout.
So it was Pepsi, and I didn't drink Pepsi either. So well, I allowed fizzy drinks in my house.
I think you only had to watch the news. You didn't have to drink Pepsi.
Yeah, well, I was probably a bit young to be watching
that. Or exist in, like, the popular culture at the time.
Young, when was it?
I don't know.
Didn't you watch the news when you were young with your folks, when you were, like, about 14, 15?
I think so. I was probably playing computer games in my room.
Or masturbating.
Well, probably. Not with my parents. That's gone a bit wrong, hasn't it? That was a bit, well, that's related to what Christian put in there, that comment, anyway. But I thought he's on about a would you rather question. But I think we've done it before. But yeah, there was two other videos I meant to say about Bobby Fingers. Apparently one's about Mel Gibson and one's about Steven Seagal. So I might have to go back and have a watch of those as well.
Okay. Okay. All right. So check out that. Thanks, Hardly Dan. Paul W says, do you have a gaming break during the summer months due to the lack of new releases, the warmer weather, family time, etc.? Or are you proper hardcore battling through and catching up on your gaming backlog and adding to your death kill ratio?
I like the way you put that the way around. The death kill ratio rather than kill death ratio.
Reading it as written. KDA, your DKA.
Yeah. It'd probably look better if I'd put a DKA. That would be a bigger number usually anyway.
If you'd put DKA there, I'd be going, what's that? What is it? I don't recall taking a break. I don't feel like I take a break from the hardcore games. Maybe from casual games might slow down a bit, whatever. There's more sort of time to sort of chill out outside or be outside and doing stuff, but
yeah, I think
hardcore games like Valorant or Hunt, we're always putting the time in, right? I think that's for me anyway.
I think the social calendar expands a little bit in the summer when there's, you know, you can actually go out and do stuff in the summer evenings. I know I've got some stuff coming up, holidays and some concerts I'm going to. But I wouldn't say I've put any of the gaming down. I work around that. So yeah, it doesn't.
You don't
stop.
Go to concerts at 3 a.m. though, do you?
No.
Yeah,
no.
Home from them,
might be in 3 a.m. Yeah, yeah. Staying over or driving back. But no, the next day I'll just go straight on. It's not. I don't think about putting games down or anything like that. It's an extension of my social life. It's not a replacement for it. So.
Yeah.
I don't really stop.
No. I don't think we're any like any of us are after the day one releases and that anymore. It's more of finding stuff we like to play together and actually what's challenging. So yeah.
I'll be playing Destiny probably still in the summer this year.
Yeah, most of the gaming for me is my social, right? That's my social life. Hanging out with friends. Some of it anyway.
Acquaintances.
It can get, and like Dave says, it expands to perhaps a little bit more of real life when the weather starts to get a little bit better.
Yeah.
Thanks for that, Paul. Appreciate it. Hope you're well, mate. Let's move on to what we've been doing because I can't see anything else in there from people. So, no. Okay.
Oh, quiet. That's right.
All right. Any particular order? Dave, do you want to go first?
I'll go first. What I've been doing? I've been going down a little bit of a rabbit hole regarding audio-visual receiver stuff.
Oh, mate, items. You can strap yourself in for a long time with this one.
Oh, I'm constantly flip-flopping between something nice and new and shiny, like a Denon X, is it 380? 100? Or what's the other one? Not a Matina. Oh, there's another one that's a similar price that's over a grand.
Is it mine?
Yeah, could be that. I just don't need it, but it's got everything that I want on it. And I'm picking up some speakers from Leeds, which is
how did you win them?
I won them, but. I messaged a guy this morning and like 20 minutes before I started saying, let me know it's okay for me to come and pick him up tomorrow. He still hasn't responded. I'm like, I can't jump in a car and drive for 3 hours and the bloke like not be in his house.
No.
I've got a sneaking suspicion that he sold it on this eBay and he didn't want to sell it for that low.
Yep.
But he doesn't want to get the bad response, so I think he's kind of ghosting me.
Right. So, are you waiting for an invoice? You haven't paid him yet, have you?
No. Cash on delivery. And I said to him, you know, I want to see them, hear them working before I pay for them. And he has sent me his address, but I just can't jump into a car and travel 3 hours at the motorway.
Absolutely not.
So
it's a tough one, right? I mean, even for me, I was looking at this this piece of equipment, and it's probably about, it's got to be an hour away, I would say, give or take.
Right.
And it's, you know, you have to factor in, you know, how much of your time is that worth? You know, you can put a dollar value on, and I'm like, hang on a second, this might just, you know, for the inconvenience of me having to do all that, I'd be better off waiting for it to come up again locally.
Right.
And save my sucker because petrol ain't cheap anymore, and nor is time really.
No. So yeah, I'm gonna see.
How much is a brand new one?
So I've bought it's a pair of Kef Q750s.
They sound expensive.
They're £1,200 new, and they're £400 on eBay.
he's jumping straight in, eh?
He's not effing about.
No, he's not.
So. I thought, as the first thing I'm going to be buying, I thought I want a quality pair of...
How do you know are these 1,200 quid speakers like? Are they the ones with... Have they got their own power and amps and stuff built in?
No.
Or are they those ones?
No.
No, there are some Kefs that are already like wireless things.
Oh, yeah, you can. Yeah, they're the Kef LSF.
Yeah.
No, they're not them. They're passive.
He's buying a proper amp today. None of this built-in amp bollocks, Neil.
Right. What can I say?
he says with wires hanging down off his ears. Yeah.
Very annoying.
This is all in preparation for the house move. I'm not even going to set them up in my house now, because there's no point getting an amp and other messing about.
I'm going to get an amp and speakers, and I'm not going to take the 10 minutes to set them up and listen to them. You'll have those things set up straight away.
Well, I haven't got an amp from start with, so
if you'd bought the ones with the amps built in, you wouldn't need them.
I think that's the reason why I've not bought an amp, because I'm not sure if I'm going to get the speakers, because I don't know. It's the same thing that goes around my head with this house. Is it's all going to fall through. It's all, it's all a pipe dream, and it's not really real. So I'm just waiting for it to not happen, and then so I can tell myself, see, I knew it wasn't going to happen. I think because I'm so excited about, one, the house, and two, the speakers, and having a proper cinema set up.
You're not moving into the point, are you? That's pretty derelict.
It's a big room for the where it's gonna be. Is it 19 foot?
5 rows of seats.
No. It's gonna be a sweet spot of where I'm gonna have a sofa and everything. And that telly behind me is going in on the wall. At one end, with I'm hoping 7.1, or is it 5.1.2 with Atmos? That setup. Although with the AV receiver that I was looking at, you can have 4 subs off it, and have a sub in each corner to
what
have
the
a
fuck was the point of that?
Well, have a so it's not a, like a just a directed bass, but
One sub's not enough, obviously.
Well, it's like having a surround bass, so it's bass dependent on where it's been delivered.
It just goes boom anyway.
but it's boom in front of you over there, or boom behind you because there's a fucking.
I don't know. I think you need a big room to be needing 4 subs.
Probably. This is like. This is the rabbit hole that I'm going down. This is what do I actually need? I probably only
none of
need
it.
Like Absolutely no, I don't. No, I probably just need, you know, just 4 bookshelves. What's it called? Bookshelf speakers, shelf speakers. I don't need any of this, but it's nice to play around with the idea and make all these things up in your head, and then once I get the speakers and I've kind of decided on a receiver, finding a decentest price, because I'm not going to pay a new, because the AV receiver is about $1,200, $1,300 new, and I'm not going to pay that. I don't want to pay that. It's playing the game of finding.
Can we just record that, please? Everybody's got that.
You just clip that.
Finding like a decent price of that on eBay. Local.
You just have to it's difficult to bide your time, but I mean, I just saw a NAD amplifier today locally, and it's like they normally, I think they go for like about $500 new, and somebody was selling one here for like $300. And I'm like, oh no, I didn't need to see that. And I was like, but I have no need for it. No need. Could I put it somewhere and use it? Absolutely. I could put it in the bedroom or whatever. Do I need it? No, I have to just say no at this point, right? Just don't need it.
But
that's the beauty of the stereo stuff, Dave, right? You know, you can start, you could go out round the corner tomorrow and find somebody knocking out a 200, you know, $100 receiver, which you'll get a decent secondhand receiver for $100, you know, if you just look around.
Yeah.
You know, and that starts you off, right? And then you have, you know, you can replace that. That's the whole point of separates, right? You start to mix and match and take stuff out.
Like I'm looking at these ones that have got 8K HDMI out or 4K 120 hertz.
He just wants in. You want in it. You really want in it. The sort of the cutting edge.
Well, and it's like, I don't even have a PlayStation or an Xbox. I don't need that. That's the only things that, like,
what's outputs. Virgin Media? You got Virgin Media box.
I got Virgin Media, yeah. That's 1080p at the best.
4K on them things?
No, it doesn't. Obviously, I've got a Fire Stick.
I'll get you a 4K pack. If you join Sky, I can get some money if I refer.
No, rest assured, Dave. Rest assured, there is a sweet spot for you to play in.
Yeah,
where you get bang for buck. It's like every other hobby, right? There's a bang for buck sweet spot where you're going to get really decent, very, very good performance. It's going to blow the socks off anybody who's watching it.
Yeah.
Right. And then past that point, it's, you know, it's what do they say? It's sort of like it's logarithmic or
diminishing returns.
Firstly, there's some massive diminishing returns into the pounds you're going to spend for the improvement, right? So
yeah.
That's what I would say. Just tread carefully. Yeah. Before you know it, you can blow a lot of money.
Oh yeah. No, I was looking at like the Denon HEOS, the home entertainment.
Well, they do the multi-room stuff.
Multi-room stuff.
Denon stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So I was looking at that, and then I was looking at some speakers for that as well, and was like, I was
sorting out one room yet.
No. That's it. I was tallying it all up, and I was like $4,000-$5,000 like deep into all these.
Well, stuff. Building a PC.
And I was like, oh, yeah. and I was like, I don't like the missus and my daughter's happy with their Echo Dots. They don't give a shit. They really don't care about their audio quality.
The funny thing, actually, I know, like my wife, it was the same. She didn't get it at first.
Right.
But it is funny. She's learnt. She's adapted over the years, right? She now knows when something doesn't sound crappy.
Oh, okay. You know,
or when something does sound crappy.
Right.
But it takes time, right? You will have an influence. You will have an influence without knowing it.
Yeah. Well, let's like, you know, set up my nice thing first, and then, you know, once she's heard some of her music on actually a decent stereo, and then hear the same music through her dot, maybe she might think about, you know.
It's weird, my wife hasn't mentioned how much better Diagnosis Murder sounds on the Sonos surround sound.
No.
No. Maybe it's not in Pro Logic even. I don't know. Maybe it's just in Nikam stereo. Maybe Nikam. That being a massive deal.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, men or women, I don't know. Some people just don't. In some people, whatever. You know? Different strokes for different folks.
So, yeah, that's been my week. Mainly AV and speaker searching and making like pretend things that I'm never gonna buy. Yeah.
Where do you search? Where do you look for your stuff?
Just Facebook Marketplace and eBay.
Right.
Yeah, there's not much really other things.
Do you look at what Hi-Fi magazine or anything like that to get some like good ideas about what you want?
No, I've get out. Sorry, Fraser's dogs. Didn't like it in the room.
He's gone.
No, I've been reading quite a lot of what Hi-Fi on the online. I'm reading a lot of reviews. The thing is, once you get past a certain price point, well, everything in AV and speakers, they rate it regarding the price points. And the top 5, 6, 7 products on £100 to £200 or £200 to £500 or £500 to it's all 5 stars, and it's brilliant at this price point. And it doesn't matter what you look at, apart from like very minor things between the top 4, 5, 6 products, they're pretty much exactly the same. It's like, it's brilliant for this price point. Unless it's a specifically bad review or there's lots of issues with some a particular piece of hardware, you can't really go wrong with getting a good named branded pair of speakers or receivers or anything like that. So
yeah, but you want to know if you're spending 200 quid, that's the best way to spend your 200 quid. You want to know what you're getting, and that's what it is, comes down to.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to spend 200 quid on a pair of whatever, BMWs, and find out that the KEFs are like the same price, but like sound twice as good.
Well, that's the other rabbit hole you get down into, which, you know, I've got speakers, I've got spare speakers all over the place, and I can put a pair of speakers in. I'm like, I like those speakers, but they don't do what I want them to do right now. Can I get rid of them? No. Can I put them in another room? Yeah. Yes. You know, or what are these speakers like? Are they, you know, they're good speakers, but they're just lacking a little bit of mid-range, so they're maybe not that good for this, or they're not that good for that.
I had a dream last night about hi-fi.
Nice.
I had a dream that we were sorting one of the kids' bedrooms out, and there was a bit of loose wallpaper in the corner. And I was like, what's going on there? Blah, blah, blah. So I ripped this bit of wallpaper off, and there was this two dodgy wooden panels, like in a sort of double door shape. So we ripped the panels off, and I walked through, and there was fucking loads of amazing hi-fi gear in this random room that we didn't even know was there. And I was like, as if anyone would have left all this shit. I woke up, I was like, that's a bit fucking random.
Oh, nice.
I don't often remember my dreams, but I woke up and I was like, that was fucking weird. As if anyone would leave that about. It was like fucking turntables, about six sets. It was like walking into Fraser's bedroom.
Oh, God, right. So Neil's going down the rabbit hole already. Like,
it was actually Fraser's bedroom, I reckon, I dreamt about. It's just speakers everywhere, turntables, well, fucking dodgy amps.
Okay. Yeah. Who wants to go next? Neil?
Okay, well, it was my birthday last week, so I went out.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, man.
Yeah, you did say that last week, I think, but thank you. So we went out for the day on Saturday last week. And I didn't know what was going on. I don't know if I said that before we went.
He did.
Other than we were going to London. So we went to this place. We went to a few places. Fraser actually knows one of them, I think, because he might have had a little fucking little bit of part to play in where we went on the Saturday evening for dinner.
If you mean, am I talking message to your wife behind your back? Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently so. But yes, so we went to this place in Hoxton, London, which I'd never heard of beforehand. And this place was called Alcatraz. And it's Alcotraz with an O. So you go in, take some booze in with you.
And you take your own?
You take your own booze, and they then take that off you as you get put in prison, and they make you cocktails with your chosen alcoholic beverages and then play out like this comedy drama thing in front of you, which you then get involved with while you're wearing your orange overalls. And it was pretty funny. I was like, yeah, it was like they did an all right job on the cocktails. Not amazing, but it was pretty funny. I'm not going to say anything that goes on in there, because if anyone does go, it'll be a massive spoiler, because I think they just do the same thing every time. But there's a warden of the prison who's a bit of a twat, and then there's like the cool prisoner guy, and then there's like some guards and stuff, and they all play out this sort of comedy drama.
Where there's some aspiring actors.
Yeah, I guess in there maybe out of work actors and things like that. Maybe, I don't know, maybe they found this place and just set it all up together. I don't know. So I don't know.
They sound like in-work actors to me.
Well, yeah, but I mean, maybe they were, aspiring maybe would have been a better word. Yeah, generally that means aspiring actors maybe just means not getting the jobs that they want, I guess, doesn't it? Proper acting work, but yeah, it was
good. Do you think all actors want to be super famous?
I don't know about that, but they might not be, you know, they might want to be on the stage. You know what I mean? Like,
and stuff performing, like that, rather performing than Shakespeare and
in some weird little place in Hoxton playing out. It was good. It was funny. But yeah, I don't know, because I don't know anything about these people. But yeah, they all did a grand job, and it was very funny.
There's a couple of them. There's London, Brighton, Manchester, and Liverpool. They've got a few videos on their website.
Yeah, well, it was good. So I recommend it. If you do like a drink, and you're not worried about maybe embarrassing yourself in front of a load of strangers.
Why? How would you embarrass yourself?
Well, you might get called out by the warden in front of all the other prisoners and stuff like that, and then get shouted at and things like that. So, And, you know, some people might make witty inverted comments while they're being shouted at by the warden in front of a load of strangers. Some people. But, yeah, it was good. It was funny. Then we went to Tayab's, the curry place. I got off the train, and I didn't know where we were going. And it was like...
Oh, that doesn't sound like you.
Yeah. I got out and I went, Tower Hamlets. I was like, oh, that's where that Tayab's place is. And my missus were like, yeah, well, guess where we're going then. I was like, oh, right, okay.
And that was good?
It was good. It was good again. And then we went to the pub.
Did anybody have the lamb chops?
My mate had lamb chops. I said to him, we've got to have lamb chops. And I didn't.
My mouth is watering just thinking about those lamb chops.
I didn't use a knife and fork this time. And we'd already bought beer from the Budgeons on the near to the train station rather than the shop right next door.
Yeah, you were prepped.
That obviously makes a killing from people.
Yeah, exactly. It was good curry again, and then we went to the Good Samaritan pub and played some tunes on jukebox and then came in.
Excellent.
So it was a good night. Good day, good night.
Was it just you and the missus? Or?
No, me and my missus and our friends from across the way that we've known for a long time. So, yeah, good.
Very nice.
And then on from lots of fun and good stuff to the big pile of shit called a cash kai that's been sitting on my drive for occasionally. The QQ, quite crap with a Q. It's had nearly a fucking grand's worth of stuff done on it recently.
Oh dear.
Since it started flashing lights going, we've got a problem. And not telling you what the fucking problem is. And we had the RAC on it one day. And he just said, there's just loads of faults. I don't know which ones are right and which ones aren't. So it went to the garage for a service initially. That was 100 odd quid. And then went in with these lights. And that was supposed to be 500 and something pounds and ended up being 660 quid because they had to basically take the entire subframe of the car off to get to the part they needed to fucking replace.
Ooh, what was it?
Something to do with the exhaust. I don't know. It's some fucking pipe that runs between the exhaust and something else and it gets blocked and it's a right ball ache to get to. And I was like, brilliant. So it was mostly labour. It wasn't a cheap part either. And then we got it back and more fucking warning lights came on. It was like, what the fuck? And this time it was the glow plugs needed replacing. Because I was like, I guess they get done at a major service potentially, but they didn't have a major service. So it's like, I don't know how that. We've had the car ages and they haven't been changed, but so it's probably doesn't sound unrealistic that needed doing by now because they're probably a bit minging because it's diesel in it. So it's grim.
Yeah, I was going to say, is that a diesel then with glow plugs?
Yeah. So that was another 100 odd quid.
Dirty diesel.
Back in. Pain in the arse. But yeah, so. Fingers crossed, that's it for the time being. But I'm thinking maybe it's time to go bye-byes to the cash cars. So we'll see.
How old is it?
It's a 2014 / 15. I can't remember. It's a 64 plate. So it's like September to March of 14, 15. I can't remember when it was exactly. It registered.
How many miles?
60K. It's not that many.
It's young. What do you want to get rid of that for? You just put in a load of money in it.
Because I don't like it. And it's fucking shit.
The trust has been lost.
Well, I didn't like it before it cost me a load of money.
Did you not? Have you never liked it?
Well, I didn't mind it for the first 6 months. And then noticed all this shit things about it. So, yeah, I wouldn't buy another one, put it that way. But if you want to buy a cash car, I'm your man. Well, I've done a great job of selling it.
It's all that had all this work put on it. Yeah, I don't know.
Lovingly maintained, right, Neil?
It has been all right because, you know, for a couple of years, it didn't really do a lot. We've just had a tweet in, by the way, if you want to go back to that at some point. But yeah, that's the cash guy done for the time being.
Crap guy.
Guy.
Okay, well, I have. Been up to a couple of things. So we are today not recording on my laptop, which I have had issues with before. As I said, I got all my PC parts last week. Oh no, I hadn't picked them up, had I, last week?
No, we're all waiting.
So I went to go pick them up on the Saturday morning. grumpy old Fraser went down there, bitched and moaned and picked them up and then complained about the place he was picking. Even though I'd sung their praises or whatever, slightly sung their praises the week before, I got down there. You know, I get in there and I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to hit the desk first. I'm going to go walk around the store. And this guy comes up straight away. Sorry, sorry, you can't walk through the aisles. No, they're all blocked off. No aisles are available. We're changing the layout of the store. I'm like, what? I can't even go browse. Like I want to look at the mice. I want to look at the keyboards. I want to look at some cables and stuff. I want to browse your wares. He's like, no, sorry. You have to just talk to the staff and they can go find whatever you want to find. I'm like, well, that doesn't work for me. I need to see shit, right?
I want
to
browse.
I need to browse and take in information. I want to
nick something.
And I said, how long is that for? And he goes, oh, it's probably for another couple of weeks. I'm like, okay, whatever.
What the hell?
So I was like, okay, well, that's it. So I went to the desk. I went, here, just give me my stuff to pick up, please. And he goes, yeah, it's all here. He's got the bin. And I said, can I just look at it, please, before I pay for it? I just want to know. He says, I'll hold it for you, but you can't touch it. I'm like, what? He goes, yeah, we have too many people just run off and nick stuff. I'm like, okay, all right. You know, like I was, or whatever, like I just want to, you know. I'm going to, and then he's like, okay, I'm going to take out the chip. The right.
Look
the
at rice. Me. I'm not fucking getting away from you, am I?
Yeah. Look at the state of me. And, he says, I'm going to take out the Ryzen chip. We'll inspect the chip so to make sure there's no bent pins. And I said, well, can I look at it then? And he's like, no, well, you can't, but I'll look at it and we'll look at it. I said, so you're inspecting it, signing it off. How do I figure into this? You know, what are you going to, you know? And I said, you guys are just, you're making it so difficult to do business with you. Like, you cannot afford to be like this, you know? But anyway, like, I got my stuff and, you know, like, I wasn't blaming the guy, but to be fair, you know what? The whole place was full of mid to late 20s, maybe even early 30s males. And they all looked miserable. Like, I don't know. Is that the life of someone who works in a PC shop?
Brilliant. Well, I don't know about 20s to 30s, but they don't look very happy usually.
No, none of them look very happy.
Although I haven't been to a proper PC shop. I don't think, because I wouldn't class PC World as a proper PC shop.
No,
this one is sort of a little bit more proper, right, than that. But anyway, so I grabbed the stuff, threw it in the back of the car.
Brilliant. Went home.
Yeah, just hoiked it in the back. Well, look, if stuff is, you know what, if stuff...
Been inspected, I guess it's fine.
Yeah, if it's in the box, it's going to be fine. Like, just throw it in the back, it's fine. I'll baby it, right? Well, you think anyone else is babying it before you see it? Yeah, so I got home, unpacked everything. So a nice case or whatever, fit everything in. You know, it's even though this is, I think, the seventh PC I've done, you still have to, you know, I don't do them all the time. So I had to just take my time. I didn't need to look up anything. I knew what I was doing. But yeah, just took my time, put everything in and fired it up. And away we went, straight up, no issues. They built that you know what and got her running straight away. So I was very, very pleased with that.
Did you have like Windows 10 or 11 on a USB stick to boot up
with?
Yeah,
I had all that ready. Yeah, I'd done that before. Yeah. So I was ready for that to go. Yes. Yeah. I'm avoiding 11 like the plague.
It's not bad, is it? I don't think.
Oh, actually, that we had a question, didn't we? And I asked a question.
You did a question, but no one really answered. Well,
yeah, Chipper answered it. So we'll come back to that.
We will come back to it.
I have
comments. I forgot to put that on.
Well, why don't we can cover that now? Because my question was, I don't know how I got into it. I think because
I'm assuming you'd had a conversation with somebody else about it.
No, I'll tell you what it was. I was listening back. I was listening to my Ben Heck podcast from 13 years ago again, and they were going on about Vista. And he was saying how, you know, people complaining about Vista or Vista's going to be great. And I was like, little do you know. they say these things and it's so funny. You know, the future repercussions of what or you know, what's happened against what they say. But yeah, they were talking about Vista. So I was just, and I skipped Vista completely. I never used it. So I'm curious as to, so that's why I typed in Discord, you know, did anybody actually use Vista? Like, because it didn't go down well. I remember that. Didn't.
Was that, what was Vista then? Was that after?
It was after XP.
Was it before 7? Before 7.
It was after XP and before 7, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah. I was working in IT at that time, and most corporations skipped it. Right. And the upgrade from XP to 7 was an absolute ball ache. But they because XP was coming to the end of its lifetime, they didn't want to do that amount of work to transfer everything, both server and user experience, for Vista, because it wasn't much of an upgrade. It wasn't very good for user experience. So, but they had to do it for 7
security
because XP was coming to the end of its lifetime.
Tesco's were still running some stuff on XP not that long ago.
You will see loads of stuff that's still running XP.
Like when one of their massive displays goes wrong in McDonald's or something, it will probably come again. Windows XP is loading.
Yeah. There's still loads of stuff running on XP. Yeah. But
well, Chippers. Sorry, Dave. Go on.
Sorry. No, it was. I was just saying, it's XP was the perfect user experience to get for businesses to get them on, and it was.
What was the things? There was levels. Well, because I can't fucking remember now. Look, did we all have XP at home as well?
Yeah.
Or was XP the business thing? What was the? Where was it? NT, wasn't it?
NT
was the sort of whole platform, isn't it?
That was like that was pre then. That was like Windows 95, and then was Windows NT, wasn't it? Similar time or something? Or was it Windows 2000 or something?
Windows 98, and then NT, and NT
was like the business side of
business platform. Yeah. And then it went on to XP. Yeah.
Yeah, Chipper said we had it. And this is regards to Vista. She said we had it installed on work machines and everyone complained and our IT department had to switch us back to the old 2007 Windows. Is that right? Well, probably back to XP. She shouldn't have gone back to 2007. But she says Vista was a nightmare. Would take forever for a machine to start. Lots of restarts since it wasn't interfacing with the other programs we used. And then she says the best version of all the Office suites was 2003. But I'm not up on my Office suites.
No, I don't really use it. But we're on the latest 365 job or whatever it is now because of pay now. I'm on a yearly fee.
You got a subscription for it?
Well, yeah. Mate, the first one I got on a Groupon or something for like 40 quid. And it was like, because the kids need it for school. And I was like, well, I'll get a family one and I'll get it cheap. And you get loads of extra storage space and all that on your OneDrive, like fucking 5 terabytes or whatever. And then I forget every year to get another thing, and it renews at 80 quid. And I'm like, I forgot to go and get another one.
That's how they get you.
Yes, indeed. But I don't pay for Game Pass, so, you know. I had a laptop with Vista on, and all I remember about that laptop is it constantly going, because the hard drive was just doing stuff the entire fucking time it was on. And I don't know if that was a Vista thing even, but Windows Vista. That was Windows Vista, like, compressed. But yeah, it just seemed like that laptop was shit. But then, if you booted anything up from those days now, it would probably feel pretty shit. Because it was all mechanical hard drives have got, you know.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. So I built this PC and I've only put in,
NVMe.
An M.2 drive, NVMe drive. Yeah, I put 1 terabyte in. So it's so funny. I've got the motherboard, it's got a glass case. It's got the glass side on the case, which I didn't know it was coming with that, but whatever. And it's just full of space. There's nothing in there. Like, it's just this tiny little board.
Oh, you've got a little AMD cooler.
Yeah, I just got the 5800X with the stealth cooler that it came with. And then the NVMe drive is on the board, which is tiny. I didn't realize how tiny those were.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a rat. It's like smaller than a stick of RAM, an M.2 drive.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, it works fine. It's lovely. The only thing that I would say I didn't take into account is the front of the case has a USB-C port. There's no USB-C on my motherboard. I cheaped out too much on my motherboard for it to have that. But that's okay. I can live with that. But I'm using it, and it's extremely usable. Well done to that 5800G. Is that what it is? 5800G chip. Yeah, just great. And I'm running the two monitors, no problems. Here we are. We don't, no problems, touch wood, so far today. I booted up Portal 2, which it ran, no problems. It was, I think, running something well into 100 frames on Portal 2.
Wow.
I played Valorant. It was 140 frames on Valorant.
How much RAM are you going there?
16 gig of RAM.
Yeah, because that'll be where, like, that's the only thing with that. You'll be sharing your RAM with graphics.
Okay.
I don't know how much. Because there's no onboard memory, obviously, on the chips.
All right.
Uses your RAM, which is Valorant, probably not as fast technically as in a graphics.
Yeah, days. Valorant ran like a champ. So
yeah.
That was pretty interesting to see. Some things it's obviously going to struggle with, and I wouldn't even bother throwing it at it.
You can play Fortnite, probably fine.
Probably.
PUBG, maybe not.
Yeah, so the next thing is, you know, if I decide to put a graphics card in, right now I'm sort of hanging back on that. The prices are just still crazy, and I don't really need a graphics card up here.
I think some of the AMDs seem like they're getting quite a reasonable price. You could get an Intel graphics card on the lower end of stuff.
Well, I was going to say, what's the point, really? If you don't need it, if you're not going to be playing, like, games on it that's going to need it, then what's the point?
Exactly. So I don't think I'm going to bother. I'll just leave it as it is. I could probably see myself never moving it and end up building another one when I come to replace the proper gaming machine downstairs. Mm. So that's pretty cool. Moving on from there, I got off my arse and I recorded a mix this week, finally, on my new old CDJs. So I popped that onto Mixcloud.
Didn't you do that on Twitch as well?
Did some streaming.
Oh no, I did a test on Twitch. So I took my laptop down and I was see if it how that would handle if I was broadcasting Twitch, and typically it
did it shit the bed.
No, it didn't actually shit the bed, but it wasn't that great.
Right.
But the other thing I can do is I can record out of my mixer via USB to the laptop, and that works really well. So I get a good quality mix, a good quality recording out of the out of that. So I did a mix on that. I posted that to Mixcloud. If anyone's interested, it's a nice little bit of ambient going into some nice beats.
Nice.
Nothing too hard. Playing for the crowd this time. And
what's your handle on Mixcloud? Is it
Fraser? Oh, I think it's Fraser Moo. Yeah, same as normal. Same as most things. And carrying on with my creativity, I took Real Defoe. Gary was very kind enough to spend some time with me, and he showed me the way around DaVinci Resolve, which is the video editing software. And so I've been collecting Hunt Showdown clips. I knew what I wanted to do, so every time something interesting happens in Hunt Showdown, I can hit Shift-Z or whatever it is. No, I think Shift-F10, or I've forgotten now, but whatever. And it records the last 5 minutes of gameplay. So I've got a bank of clips, and I knew what I wanted to edit them down and then put them into a compilation. And I knew it would be pretty straightforward, but it was one of those things. I kept looking at this software, and it was just... I just couldn't be bothered to figure it out for myself. So I said to Gary, look, when you have a minute, can you help me out here? And he was very kind. He took half an hour out or whatever and just showed me the basics. And I was away to the races. So it's pretty neat. Very, very good. Very interesting software. So you can do almost anything.
Where did you get that from?
There's a free version.
Free to use.
Yeah. Right. You know, and then
is it watermarked or something if you were?
No.
No.
No. It doesn't seem to be. But I think, you know, if you want to go up to the next level,
it's probably a subscription. So that's how everything fucking works these days.
That's how they get you. But it worked very well. So I did a couple of videos this week, and then I've still got some more clips I want to work through and get those out. And
I keep seeing Humble Bundle keep doing bundles on either photo editing or video editing or music production. They do quite a lot of software suites as well as like video games bundles. So it might be worth keeping an eye on some of that. I don't know if there's one on the minute.
Yeah, they've always done that. And I've always sort of looked at the music software and things like that and wondered about. But I'm also very wary of it's very easy to click the button and be enthusiastic. But then when it comes to actually diving into all this stuff,
You could just put in some like sound effects on your mixes and stuff like that. Like, bow, 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 and all that sort of shit.
Exactly. Brilliant. So yeah, that's pretty much it. Just been, you know, quite creative. Created a PC, created a mix, created some videos. Yeah.
Getting your creative juices flowing.
Yep, I've had enough now.
I've ruined it, haven't I?
So yeah, that's pretty much me then. So should we just move
on? Did you want to do this tweet that came in?
Oh, I don't know. Did we get a tweet?
I did say that. MS Rangers with a blue tick sent a tweet.
Oh, yeah.
He says, "Hi, if I'm not too late, a few things to discuss." So this is where this is going. "If you have described something as indescribable, haven't you already described it?" It's one of those tweets.
All right. Mm.
Right, there's more. Are we doing that bit and then moving on?
I don't know
on?
How much
more.
I mean, it's sort of, I can see where he's going with that. What do we need like a 10-minute
Do we need to respond?
I don't know if we need to respond to that one, do we?
Should we say yeah?
What should came a man, first, the chicken or the egg?
Yeah, these are a bit like that. It's not quite that one. But, okay, should a man about to be executed in an electric chair be saved if he had a heart attack? I assume before they've switched through the switch. Not sure it works quite the same way as a defibrillator, but...
Is he strapped? What? Yeah, I guess.
I guess
you
if you're
to,
about, you were supposed to be executed, but you already have a heart attack beforehand. When they flick the switch, if you've had a heart attack, are you going to come back to life?
Or well, I would imagine. I'm sorry.
I think they fry your brain, don't they?
Are you saying he has the heart attack before they flip the
switch?
Yeah,
I think that's where they're going.
Are they going to flip the switch at a specific prearranged time?
Apparently, Mark in the chat says they're required to bring them back so that they can kill one sound bit.
Well, I was going to say that. At something like that, there's going to be a medical professional. A medical professionals have a duty of care.
Yeah, sorry, hang on. This man is having a heart attack. I need to revive him. Okay, he's fine. Throw the switch. Fry his brain.
Well, what it sounds a bit odd, but it would almost play. You would think it would have to play out like that, wouldn't it?
Well, do they have to do that?
Yeah, but say Dave's getting executed at 10 o'clock, okay?
Okay.
For stealing speakers or whatever, for being the biggest speaker theft, whatever. Anyway, I've got nothing. Dave's getting executed at 10 o'clock, right? Anything prior to that, like where do you draw the line? 30 seconds before, an hour before, 2 hours before, 4 hours, 4 days, whatever. I mean, any time before that, any medical professional has a duty of care to.
Well, if you've signed a do not resuscitate thing?
You're dead.
Well,
it's like if you choke on your final meal, do you get Heimlich'd and saved, or do you go out on a burger high, a meaty demise?
Yeah, no, I don't know how much of a high that is, but
dying with a large chunk of meat stuck in your throat.
I don't know. I think the cut point is once you are in the room where you're going to be executed, anything after that, death is kind of like a requirement.
That'd be pretty shit, wouldn't it? Like, oh, thanks for saving me. It's like, okay, okay, you can carry on now. You can kill him.
Yeah, I think
that would be really
saved. In reality, no. Like anybody walking past the cell, oh no, he's lying down still. Oh well, keep walking.
We have got another one, by the way.
Oh God!
Right, what's the other one?
The last one is: if you punch yourself in the face and it hurts, are you A, weak, or are you strong?
Well, there's another word for what you are, I think, if you just punched your face.
What do you reckon?
Well, I'm going to tell myself I'm strong.
Yeah, that's what I'm going with.
I'm going to tell myself I'm weak.
I think I've got a pretty high pain tolerance. But I'm not sure. I'll punch myself in the face and let you know.
I don't think pain tolerance is a description of how tough you are.
No, he just said, are you weak or strong if you hurt yourself when you punch yourself?
Yeah.
I guess your fists are stronger than your face.
Yeah, you would think, wouldn't you? Yeah.
Well, if it hurts, they are. If it doesn't hurt, then I guess your fists are weaker than your face.
I would confidently break my own nose if I really wanted to.
Oh, confidently?
Hence why flailing people who's having an epileptic fit are restrained, so they don't injure themselves. Because you are stronger than, you know, than your face.
Some of us. Some of us might be.
Yeah.
You're probably stronger than you realise you are.
Yeah. You could easily smash your own face up, and people regularly do. In an effort. Yeah.
Regularly.
Yeah.
Oh, it's 10 o'clock.
Have you not watched Fight Club? Spoilers.
Oh, you've ruined it now.
Well, fuck me. People must know what that shit's about.
Nothing can beat the scene where he beats himself up in Liar Liar. Jim Carrey goes to the toilet during the trial and beats himself up. He's the master.
He's pretty good at slap that physical.
He's pretty good. He is pretty good. He's all right.
He's done all right as well. Let's be honest.
When he's being serious, he's actually quite good.
Yeah.
So some of his comedy is a bit too cringe for me. I'm not a massive fan of cringe.
All right. Good to know. All right. Moving on.
In the meantime, Mark is kicking his own ass in the chat.
All right, let's move on to what we've been
playing. This is what happens on St. Patrick's Day in Ireland.
Mark, you're very strong.
You don't need to prove it.
All right, who wants to start? I'll start, shall I? Okay. No, actually, let's get Neil to start.
Ugh.
Come on, Neil, your 5 minutes for Destiny starts now.
Right, okay. What have I done in Destiny this week? I don't know. I can't remember. Played a lot of Destiny, more than anything else. I should have written some bits. It's all bit of a blur of what I've actually done this week versus what I've done in previous weeks. But
you've been doing single player, multiplayer.
Well, I know me and Gary have just joined up a few times and just done some of the weekly tasks together. I've been progressing through some of the exotic quests. Once you finish like a campaign, usually it'll give you some more jobs to do to unlock more weapons. So I've unlocked 2 exotic weapons since the end of the new campaign. I've got a sidearm, which is like a small pistol, which behaves somewhat similarly to the smart pistol in Titanfall. I don't know if you remember that, the first one. I don't know if it was in the second one or not. But you hold the trigger down and it aims at a load of people. And then when you let go of the trigger, it's like, yeah. And shoots at loads of people. Yeah. Well, so there's now a sidearm in Destiny that does that. That's pretty cool.
Seems a bit overpowered, but yeah, fair enough.
No, it's not overpowered because it's only a sidearm. They don't do loads of damage per bullet. Okay. So it's no good in PvP. I don't know. I haven't tried it in PvP. But yeah, it's a bit of fun. And then there's what they have, these things called glaives, which were started with Witch Queen last year, and they are like a great big spear / sword. A magic spear / sword, because it shoots stuff, energy, and it can, like, if you aim with it, it will like build a force field in front of you as well, and you can also club the shit out of people with it up close. So it's a pretty cool weapon. And they've got one of them which shoots out like freezing bolts, so it'll freeze your targets in front of you, and then you can just like smash them to pieces. Yeah, it's pretty cool. And then I've discovered there is a secret exotic quest, which you need to do some certain things it doesn't just go give it to you on a plate. You've got to do something, like notice something in the world, which I haven't actually spent much time in that area of Destiny 2 since the new expansion, because it's not in the new area. It's one of the old areas. So maybe me, Gary, hit each other up and check that out, because that's another glaive weapon that you get at the end of that, apparently, called Vexcalibur. Vex being one of the races of the in Destiny 2, and obviously Excalibur. Everyone knows what that is, don't they? It's a fucking great big sword. So, yeah, I'll be looking into doing that in the next few days. I haven't been in, but there've been some changes to the way things work on the Trials of Osiris. I've mentioned a few times in recent weeks about this PvP mode that comes around every weekend. The first 2 weeks of the new expansion, they don't normally put it out because there's too much other shit going on, and they want people on the raid, which only came out last week, and things like that. And then the second week will be when the PvP stuff starts coming out. So I mentioned before how Trials of Osiris, there's usually you need to go in with a team of three, and every so often they would do what they called a freelance mode in the previous season, where everyone in there was a solo and they just teamed up. It was like match made randomly, somewhat alongside your skill level, I think. But now what they've done is made the whole thing matchmaking. So if you're a solo, you'll get match made with two other people, either two solos or another a duo. And I think they try to keep teams of three, who going in with teams of three, away from solos and duos, I believe, is how they're trying to match make it. But if the pool comes too small, obviously you'll just get match made with whoever. As you go down, because the whole thing with that is, the big thing you're supposed to do in Trials of Osiris is go 7 games unbeaten. And if you do 7 games unbeaten, you get to go to the lighthouse. And it's one of the very rare things that, well, relatively rare things that people can do in PvP and Destiny. It's been there since Destiny 1, I think, but it works a bit differently in that. But it's always been this thing about getting 7 wins, going flawless, not losing a single game, get 7 in a row, you get to go to the lighthouse. There's no other way to get to the lighthouse. So I might be looking at doing some of that this week. I might go in on my own. I might see if Gary wants to go, if anyone else is about. Maybe they hit us up. We can go. It's cross-platform play and all that sort of stuff these days, so you don't have to be on PC. Give us a shout on the Discord or whatever, and we can hook up.
So what does going to the lighthouse mean?
Well, you get extra loot.
Is it a level?
It's just a completely different area that you can't get to any other way in the game.
Right.
So there's like a whole area that they've made called the lighthouse. So right, okay. I don't know what's there. I've not been there. Oh, so I can't tell you.
Okay.
Exclusive.
So spoilers then.
No, I like to avoid spoilers generally.
Okay.
But there's going to be a big chest there with extra loot in, I assume. Because I know you get extra loot if you win.
Okay.
And you get, I think, what happens is you get better versions of the guns that are available through the normal loot pool.
Oh, right. You get what they call
adept versions, so they'll be like enhanced perks.
So how do you get there again? What do you have to win?
You've got to win 7 games in a row. On Trials of Osiris. Trials of Osiris, which is 3v3. I was listening
to you, obviously, you can tell, right?
It's 3v3 combat, but you can only get in if you've got... You can't get in if you're on a free play. You have to have the expansion, the latest expansion to get in.
But you can go in as a team of three?
You can go in as a team of three, or now... It used to be only teams of three. If you went in as a solo on a normal week, you would literally be on your own against a team of three, probably.
Oh, jeez.
So you'd have to be some sort of god to get through that, because you can't really make up for having only one of you versus three, because they'll just... Once they realise there's only one person on the other team, they'll be like, well, if we all just stick together, they're dead, because there's no way you can combat that. But yeah, so now it's...
I don't know, we regularly... Our team of three regularly gets wiped out by a solo.
That's completely different. That's completely different. So... So I'll have a little look at that probably over the weekend. And what else have we been doing? Not a lot, really. Just plodding along with all of the bounties, the dailies, trying to get my level up, because that's another thing. The level does matter in Trials of Osiris. So if you're sitting there at a 1750, you might have a bad time. But if you're at 1800 or thereabouts, it might be okay. But there's probably going to be people in there who are like 18, 20, 18, 30 or something stupid because they've been just playing it for like a full-time job. Not that I haven't been playing it like a full-time job. There we go. That's been a bit less this week because I've been actually back to work. So. What else? So that'll be enough Destiny, wouldn't it? If you had enough Destiny? Probably did that about 5 minutes ago. So I played a couple of other games this week. So I played a game that came to Game Pass recently called Wolong Fallen Dynasty. And I do believe I talked about the demo for this game a couple of months ago.
I hovered over the install. In fact, I pressed install on this. And then while it came up and went and told me, oh, yeah, it's just 40 gig to install. Not that that's a big deal. I just, am I going to play this? And I just thought about it. And I think I heard that there were some pretty tough bosses. And isn't it Souls-like?
It is Souls-like.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And I went, forget it. So
so it's all right. It's not, I say so. It's a bit Souls-like. I mean, it is very similar mechanically. It's more Sekiro-like than Souls-like.
Yeah, I haven't played that, so I don't really know.
Yeah, it's... Well, I found Sekiro quite hard. It was really good fun when you get when it clicks, but it was fucking... The bosses were just so hard in Sekiro. So the key with this is... Well, like, it's... What's it called? It's Chinese mythology, I guess. And you spend ages creating your character at the beginning of the game. You can choose whatever you want to look like, black, white, female, male, whatever in between. You can have a beard as a woman and all that sort of stuff, anything you want. Choose your voice and all that sort of shit. And then you get into the game, and it's similar combat. The people who make this made Nioh, which was obviously another Souls like that was a bit sort of samurai similar. Yeah. I didn't really get on with style, that. Right? Yeah. So this is definitely feels, I feel better than Nioh for sure. Oh, there's a lot of skill trees and stuff and stuff to unlock. I haven't really dug anywhere in that yet. There's magic abilities on your right trigger. And then there's what they call summons on like the right bumper button. Depending on, I don't know. It's very early. I'm still in the very early stages of this game. So the main deal that you've got to get with this is not about, like in Dark Souls particularly, it's very fairly slow-paced combat, very methodical and very much take your time, learn what you're doing, counter the enemy. You don't have to parry and stuff like that in Dark Souls. You can dodge out of the way and like get into a position where you can do a lot of damage, like running around the back of someone and stuff like that. The bosses are a bit different in Dark Souls, but the generic bot enemies in Dark Souls, you've got to find a way of beating all of them, but you can just block them off if you've got enough stamina and stuff like that. You don't get much for blocking in this game. Or like rather, the key to this game is timing a counterattack, basically. So when you've got to wait for them, look, you can attack the base enemies, but when you get into the first boss fight, you've got to do like counterattacks, basically. So you need to, this is where it's very similar to Sekiro, like when they'll come in, there's normal attacks, which you've just got to time, and they're relatively straightforward. Like you press a circle, it is for B to counter, or double B is a dodge. But generally, you want to be pressing a single tap on B at the right time. You'll dodge out of the way and you can do a big heavy attack and do a load of damage. On the base enemies, you'll probably kill them in a couple of hits. First boss is an absolute prick. I have heard about this on multiple podcasts about here's the probably the worst boss in the whole fucking game, and they decide to put it at the fucking make it the first one.
Really?
And it's just like, why did you do that? So he absolutely kicked my ass the first time I see him. What happens is normal attacks will come through, blah, blah, blah. But when they do a super special, it will take them a long time to warm up the actual hit. But they'll be like, they'll glow red, and I don't think they're like invulnerable while they've glowed red. And you, it's quite obvious that they're going to do a big fucking attack, and it's like they'll rush at you, and you're like, I'm just going to press the button now. I'll press the button. Oh no, they haven't, still haven't done the attack yet. Or press it again. Nope, still haven't done the attack yet. And then they'll do the attack and fucking annihilate you in like two hits. And you're like, that's quite annoying. So then your next time you go in and you go, right, okay, it's going to take that bit longer and still get the timing. So there's a few other mechanics involved in this as well, where you have, you quite quickly level up, well, I think it's morale is quite important. The more morale you got, the more damage you do. And when you like plant a flag, which is similar to the bonfires and whatever in Dark Souls, you, in this game, you'll like cap your morale at a certain point. It's like you might be at 10 and you cap, do a flag, and it says you're capped at like 8 now. So if you die, you'll only go back to a morale of 8, and no matter how we build it up to. In the early stages, you can't, there's not enough to do. There's quite a few flags quite quickly, and there is a flag right near the first boss, so it's not that big a problem in terms of getting back to the boss and stuff like that. But getting to the point, like, what the spoilers, the first boss, you think you've beat him finally, and you're like, yes, I fucking beat him. And then there's a second phase to the boss. And then he becomes an absolute cock end, even bigger cock end than he was before. And you're like, what the fuck? So that's where I am at Wolong. It's like, I don't know if I can be asked to spend however long it's going to take me to beat this first boss.
Oh, mate, if ever I made a good decision, it was that one, cancelling
well,
that
Insta. You never know, you might do it first go.
Look, I just thought, this looks to me like a game that is going to kick my ass. Do I need my ass kicked by a game right now? And it's like, no, I get my ass kicked all the time in Hunt or in Valorant or whatever. Like, there's always an ass kicking coming from something. I don't need it.
It's weird. I don't know. It's fun, but I don't know. I don't know what it is about these Dark Souls games that I just like.
You have to have the
mindset. Always felt like I could do it in Dark Souls, where I was like, oh, I fucked that up. And now I'm playing this and I'm like, I don't know if I can be asked to spend the time to fucking get the timing right on every single, because it does loads of fucking different attacks when it goes to seconds. I was like, I don't fuck. I've just learned everything to beat him. And now you throw all this shit at me.
So this is the exact argument about all the other games that you play that are exactly like
that. No,
it.
But they're not.
Like,
they're
you're making the same, you're right. Making the same argument.
No,
I was, why I don't like Elden Ring.
Those games, I felt like I was still capable of doing it. Whereas this game, I'm like, oh, I don't know. I am ever going to do this because it's about
imagine how you feel
about the speed
and how it's
the countering. You've got to be it. It's all about the timing. Yes, there's a bit of timing involved.
How can that be first game, first boss though? Like, what are they?
Yeah,
just
they fucking messed up because it's like, why did you make the first boss so fucking hard? Because loads of people will get to the first boss thinking, yeah, this is all right. I like this game. People go on about these games and I like this one, and then you go, fuck you.
Yeah, I think that's the point of these games, including Elden Ring and other games. Those other games are way more interesting, just a big dump on
I think it's
trying to do anything good on
I think it's the controls, because this works different. Like, instead of using like mostly shoulders and triggers to do your attacking and defending in this game, you're using the square, triangle, X, and maybe it's just because I'm so used to playing them other games, I can't get my head around fucking pressing different buttons.
That's what they, you know, the I things. Wasn't going to say it, but maybe it's not the game, mate.
Old man fingers.
Yeah, maybe.
Remap it. Remap.
I don't think you can. And like I said, at the end of the day, it's not interesting enough to make me care. Like, I'd rather go back and try Sekiro again.
Oof.
And that was fucking hard.
Yeah.
But, like, the thing is, when you do finally do, like, I know I might go back to it, because I know when you do finally beat it, it is a big, like, fist pump. Yes, that fucking felt good to actually get one over on you finally after you kicked my ass 100 times beforehand. But I don't know if I just like, I don't know if I like the mechanics enough versus what I've played before.
Well, I'm not trying it.
So at the moment, it's so long to woe long.
Oh, yes. Love it.
Right, what was my other game?
RE2.
Oh, yeah. Right. Ooh, okay. Yeah. Well, this is a bit different.
Did I just interject here and just say something I forgot?
Go on, then.
Look at Neil's face. Oh, go on, then. Because I can see your face this time because I got all the video screens up. With my machine's not borking. I tried the Resident Evil 4 demo.
Oh, okay.
It was all right. It was I'll probably wait till it discounts. I think I'll definitely buy it if it gets down to I'm not paying full pop for
it. It's only 50 quid. It's not a 70 quid job.
Yeah, but still, it's still Resident Evil 4, which I've played 100 times and looks very nice. Yeah, I'd definitely be interested in going back in. Still no change. I still from my last opinion. I think I'll go back in, but not at full pop. So there you go.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, I've played it a lot over the years. Right. So yeah, I did go. So as after playing Resident Evil 4 last week, I was going to go back and play. Excuse me, Resident Evil 2.
Yeah.
Because I've had it sitting in my library for about 6 months.
Yes.
And hadn't actually touched it.
The remastered version.
Yes, the remake.
This is PlayStation 5 version.
Well, no, I'm playing on PC. I'll put it on PC.
Oh, you got me.
But yeah, yes, it is the one.
Remake, it really is right there.
It is full on, like... Well, yeah, because was Resi 2 still, like, stationary still camera angles and stuff like that?
It was just not... It's not. You can't compare the two.
So this is basically... You're now third person, but over the shoulder view, like you are in Resi 4 and stuff like that. Okay. Where do I start? Okay, the start takes a bit of a time to get going because you've got to watch all the videos. But the atmosphere is great. It's fucking, we're back and it's creepy as fuck. And you're like, the deal is you're Leon. Well, I chose to be Leon. You can be two characters, can't you? I haven't played as Claire. Because you meet Claire on the road in, and you can then choose to play as either character. I chose to play as Leon, because I'm pretty sure that's the way I started the first game. Well, the first time around. And you have to get... You are on your way to the Raccoon City Police Department for starting your new job. And all the shit... It all goes to shit, obviously, on the way in, and everyone's a fucking zombie. Or large... Most people are. And, well, it looks pretty nice. It doesn't look as good as Resi 4 demo. That's definitely had an even better lick of paint, I think, than this has. Well, to be fair, versus the originals, I don't know. Maybe this had a bigger uptake.
I think RE4 probably, this probably helped catapult RE4.
It's in the same engine.
For a really good budget, right? Though, but,
Yeah. Well, this shows what they could done. Like, the Resi 2 was a long time ago, and this is... a massive upgrade on that.
Yeah, this game's 4 years old now, by the way, too.
Yeah, exactly. So the Resi 4 is going to... I'm seriously considering buying it next week when it comes out, but I've got a lot of Resi 2 to play between now and then, so I'm going to do that. But yeah, it's looks super nice. This has been upgraded over when it first came out, because it got a ray tracing pass. After it came out, and there was a bit of a fuss about that because it fucked up a lot of people's games because it ran like shit versus what it did beforehand. But when you're running around the police station with just a torch out,
don't you,
mate? Oh god, it's so fucking creepy.
I was gonna say,
the atmosphere is amazing.
It looks like a proper good game.
Yeah,
And
it's like sneaking around, like you're creep. It's all on sale. Everything's on sale at the minute on PC.
Oh yeah, Resident Evil. Really good.
It's like even if you just sit there, not moving, and then you can just hear things, and it's just like creaking floorboards or whatever. The atmosphere is fucking amazing. I am a bit. I don't know what I'm doing with these fucking zombies. I don't know when they're dead. And like, I think I've shot them in the head a few times, and they go down. Dead. I'm like, he looks dead. Yeah, well, I guess they are dead, but you know they're not. It's like, when are they going? Are they going to get back up again? Do I? How do I? Like, you know, in like Evil Within or whatever, you used to burn the fuckers, and they were dead. You knew they weren't fucking coming back. I don't know what I need to do in here to like not, does them not get up again? So that's where I am at the minute. I'm still in the police station, running around, fucking trying to solve the little puzzle to get out of the police station. Which is not a little puzzle, actually. You have to do running around the whole fucking place. I've don't know how many times to get to wherever, all the stuff you need. That's classic Resident Evil stuff.
Yep. There's a lot of running around in that building.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, there's places you can't get to, and obviously then you can if you go, oh, spoiler, I've just revealed a puzzle on the stream. So.
To yourself?
No, I knew it anyway, because I'd done that bit, but I was just watching it again. Oh, is he going to do it? Yeah, he's going to do it. Okay. So, yeah, there's a lot of things I don't know what to do exactly right yet. But, yeah, like I say, the big, like, another thing, you get a knife, and I'm like, that's all right, I'll just kill everyone with the knife. If I creep up behind them, I can give them a good stab in before they fucking turn around, and I don't have to use all my bullets, which there's not many of. But then my fucking knife broke. I was like, for fuck's sake, what? It's like I've just lost my knife. So now I've got no bullets and no knife. So I was like, oh, for fuck's sake. But so then another thing was a bit annoying. Was like, I thought, good old Resident Evil, you needed a typewriter ribbon to save your game, didn't you?
Yeah.
And the typewriters. Well, you don't need a fucking ribbon anymore. So I didn't know you could save your game. But it did a couple of auto saves, and then it was just like I'd played for like 20 minutes and I'd got a bit into the game, and it was like I had to go and do something, and I was like, oh fuck, it doesn't just save all the time. It's like you need to have some time set aside to say, you know, like I've got until 2 o'clock, and at 2 o'clock I need to fucking find a typewriter to save. So that's a bit annoying that you can't just like, it doesn't checkpoint like where you were. If you're in a PS5 or an Xbox Series S, I guess you can put it in resume mode, and just like, so when you just bring it back up, it's back where you were.
Yeah. If I remember correctly, though, you were never more than a couple of minutes to get to a typewriter.
No. But I didn't realise that at the time. When I'd played about an hour and actually only made about half an hour's progress, because I'd played it four times, and twice I'd had to just fuck off and leave it, and I just had to shut the game down. I was like, fuck.
Oh, right, okay.
So that was a bit annoying. But yeah, it's very good so far, but it's still very early. And yeah, just the whole fucking like, how do I get rid of these fucking zombies without using about 20 fucking bullets is the thing I need to know.
Shoot him in the head.
Well, that's what I was doing. I shot him in the head quite a few times, and then thought he was dead. Then he got back up again. I was like, I've just fucking shot you in the head about six times, and then you get back up. They don't get back up straight away. They wait until you're right next to them, and then they get up, and you're like, for fuck's sake. So, yeah. It's made me jump so many times already. So, but it's fun. It's fun.
It's done its job as a game.
Yeah. Well, it's not finished doing its job, because I'm going to carry on playing it. So.
Yeah, it's good. There's good length to it, too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Should I go next?
If you like.
We've been playing more Hunt. I'm not sure. I haven't seen you on Hunt, I don't think, this week, Neil. We've lost you to Destiny a little bit more this week, haven't we?
Yeah, I've been busy working in Destiny and then trying to fit in some other stuff that isn't Destiny.
So. Yeah, nothing. I have nothing to report on that, I don't think. I did get persuaded to jump in and play a game of Valorant the other day, which I have not played Valorant for a long time. And I will secretly admit on this public podcast that I was a little bit nervous going back into Valorant. I thought I was going to be super, super rusty. What I was worried about was being super rusty and shit and getting really frustrated with it.
Mm.
But actually, I went in and I really enjoyed it. I think I was sort of gearing up for a game anyway, because my kids have started playing. You know what it is? My son started playing. He's really into it now.
No.
Keeps sitting down at dinner time telling us about all the aces he gets and stuff.
My
daughter's been playing it as well. So I think she's been reinvigorated by a new agent. So there's a new agent called Gecko. So she's been maining him, as far as I'm aware, this week.
How'd you get them?
How do you
pay
get
to get in? The new agent, is it like you just pay in?
Yeah, you have to. Well, you can pay up front and get access straight away. I think it's like.
I have just seen possibly the worst play in Valorant.
Yeah.
I was just like, what am I watching? And it's like, how is this guy not dead?
I think you can obviously pay up front to get the agent unlocked from day one, or you can just unlock grind them normally. Out. Yeah, grind it out.
I can't remember how you unlock the new stuff when it comes
out. You just assign your XP to that agent, and then I think you have to get them to level 10 before they unlock or something, or level 5 before they unlock.
Ah, I see.
Grace, that's my wife's name, Madeline. She's been playing enough to unlock it, so she's been playing that. So I was a bit concerned that, because when we played Valorant, I was playing a lot, right? You know, I'm convinced, and actually I'm not wrong. I mean, I was definitely rusty, but I enjoyed it. You know, I still got
some
kills.
Do you think your skills have transferred over? You've got, because you were getting pretty nifty at old Hunt Showdown.
I think the thing with Hunt Showdown, I think with Hunt, what's happened with Hunt is I've enjoyed fighting a lot more and I've been less scared of fighting. And so it was like PUBG. Do you remember when you were playing PUBG? It was a lot of talk of PUBG. It was like, you have to get in there and fight because eventually you have to fight people anyway. So get yourself stuck into the danger zones and get on with it and learn to fight people and get your gun skills up. So I did that with Hunt and I'm enjoying that a lot more, particularly with play. We're playing a much more aggressive game, I think, among everyone right now. And I think when it comes down to close range fighting, I get a little bit of the Valorant training starts to spill over a little bit, right? Don't panic, make your shots count. And I think it's just been more effective. Keep cover, sort your angles out against the walls or the
don't
tree
walk around
stump.
Looking at the ground.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. Be ready.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's
aim at head height around corners and things like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. And so it was fun playing. You know, we had four stack of us in there. I think Mark, Matt, Arnie, and I were playing. We could have done with a fifth, but it was good to play. I'd forgotten, you know, it's nice to play in the team. It was good. We had a good game. We won, so it was enjoyable. But then we played another game after that. And that was not so enjoyable.
Hang on, did you say four? I thought it was three max.
Five, isn't it?
No, it's five.
Hunt.
No, we're on to Valorant.
We took a very bad.
Sorry, Valorant. Sorry.
It's all right. Get back to your Hi-Fi magazine. All right.
So, getting confused between the games.
But the second game wasn't as enjoyable, and I purely think we did lose. But I think we lost a couple of players or one player. I can't remember anyway. Sorry. I think it's just, it burns me out. Valorant is just nonstop. You know, when you play Valorant, it's just go, 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 go for, and if a match goes to full, like, you know, 13-10, you know, you're looking at 40 minutes of gameplay, right? It's quite
tiring. It gets tense towards the end, obviously.
Yeah, it gets tense, but you really have to concentrate in
it.
It
is exhausting
all the time.
Exhausting. I think that's why I stopped playing, because it was just too much.
When
you're winning, it's fun, but to win takes a lot of concentrating.
Yeah, I think that I think I could go play a game right, but I could go play a game right now, lose, and it might be a little bit frustrating. But if it was a good game, it's a good game. And then the game after that, it's going to be tough because I'm just going to be tired. It's old manny. It just sounds like, you know. But we're playing in the evenings. You know, it's knackering, right? Whereas something like Hunt, there is downtime. You know, you just mooch around in the forest and walk from one place to the other and have a chat with your mates. And if you want to go,
well, that was the PUBG type. That's the sort of similar to PUBG, isn't it?
Yeah, that was the same thing with PUBG.
You're all funny, just having a bit of a laugh and a giggle, and then all of a sudden it's like game face on because we're in combat and we need to.
Yeah, exactly. But it's still, it was good to play. So, I think I'll definitely be jumping back in for some games here and there.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Kind of miss it. Kind of. But I've just got no space for it.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Destiny.
That's fair enough. You haven't got the bandwidth.
No. I want to get good at Destiny.
And then Steam have got a sale on. So I thought I'd check my wish list this afternoon. I screwed up, of course, because we lost the hour. Our clocks went forward. So we've lost an hour on you guys. So I was sat here patiently waiting, wondering where you all were. And I got my time wrong. Obviously, it was for 4 hours difference this week instead of 5 hours. So I thought, okay, let's play something. Let's see what else I can run on this machine. So I looked through my Steam library and I saw a couple of things, but nothing really took my fancy. And then I pulled up my wish list because there's a sale on Steam right now. And I looked through and I was like, well, I don't want to pay that much. I don't want to pay that much. And then right at the bottom of my wish list was a game called Project Lazarus. And it was like $4, I think. $4 or $5. So, oh yeah, okay, I'll grab that. That's nothing, you know, it's bite size. And I'll see if it runs and whatever. So I loaded it up. And here's the question for you. It said it needed 6 gig of space.
Hard drive space.
Yeah. Now I expected it to be a 3 gig download, right? Because it's got to download it and then unpack it to the space. Yeah. But actually, it was only about a 1.5 gig download. So why did it need 12? Sorry, why did it need 6?
Mate, how does it? Was it? Is it 6 gig now? It's unpacked.
I don't know.
Well, maybe that'll answer. Maybe that'll answer the question.
Because
maybe it is just super compressed.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I don't know. That's it, I guess. So yeah. Anyway, this is a Vampire Survivors wannabe, but with rather than a wizard or whatever, or some guy in a cloak, you are mechs. So our mechs, like, well, we all know what a mech is, right? Like a battle mech.
It's a titan.
Yeah, like a titan. Yeah. So it's the same top down. You're looking at your mech. It's more fancy graphically. Yeah, it's much more fancy graphically. So Vampire Survivors as well is directly top down. This is sort of
and it's proper retro looking.
Yeah, this is isometric, and it's you know.
It's 3D. You can 3D. See that they're 3D models.
Right, you know, yeah. But same sort of premise. You know, you start off, your mech's there on the ground, and then it's got a little crappy gun going, puh, puh, puh. Yeah. And then, you know, you're taking out the grunts, they're dropping a diamond or whatever it might be, and you collect those, and then when you've collected enough, suddenly you level up, and then it says here, you know, what do you want to tack onto your mech? And I think I've only played it for about half an hour, so I haven't seen much, but I played about 2 or 3 games. And
do you get a garlic? And
there's no garlic, although I was like secretly hoping I would find some sort of energy shield. Because typically with this, I played the first game and I had a sort of a gun, and then I got another rifle or something that attached onto his shoulder. But it
looks a bit like you are more in control of where you're shooting in this game versus...
Right, yeah, this is different. So instead of it all just happening without you, with you just moving, like you can play Vampire Survivors with one hand, right? Mm. This one is you're moving. It's like a twin stick shooter. I think they call it a reverse twin stick shooter. So I'm not exactly... Anyway, I'll get lost. Yeah, I'll get lost and confused on that. But you're not controlling the
shot. Sounds like something else, a reverse twin stick.
Far too exotic for me. So yeah, you are controlling the direction of the weapons, but you're not controlling the fire rate. So they're going to fire regardless, but you're moving
with your left stick. That sounds about right.
Moving with your left stick and your... See, you started again. You're moving with your left stick and then you're firing with the right stick. And so in the first game I played it, you know, it's dropping some stuff. I got a couple of upgrades here and then I got overwhelmed and I got killed. And I was a bit like, I feel like this game's pretty hard. Why did I not do better than that? I thought I could do better than that. And then, of course, I had to sit there, take a moment.
Do you remember the first few games of Vampire Survivors?
Yeah, yeah. You're forgetting what this is like, right? You know, you have to earn your way through.
Mm.
And so, yeah, I played the second game and, oh, yeah, and then I, from that first game, I had earned some credits. So there were a couple of upgrades. It's exact, you know, it's a blatant copy. Wow. You know, I went and spent the credits and I allocated 180 to this and I added 180 to that, start a new game. And I'm a little bit, my fire rate was up a little bit more and I was a little bit more powerful. And then I started to shoot some things, some more things. And whatnot. Actually, I should just mention my PC without a graphics card ran it at about 35 frames a second, which wasn't tremendous, but it was more than playable.
Have you tried Vampire Survivors on your PC?
No, I should do.
Because that gets a bit crazy towards the end.
Yeah, that can go. Well, this is what I think. See, this wasn't even going crazy. So I've got a feeling that this is going to suffer.
This could get extremely bad.
Yeah. So then I chucked all the settings down to low and it removed all the foliage off the ground. It was like really starting to look bare bones and really shitty. And the other thing was, and there were these gray critters who were trying to kill me. They ended up being almost the exact same color as the ground underneath the foliage. Oh. So I couldn't see them anymore. Very well, like my periphery vision, I wasn't catching them and they were really causing me a problem. So that's not good. I might drop a line to the developer about that because it's, you know, that's the sort of thing they need to fix. But it ran 60. So that was okay, I guess. But anyway, regardless, that's just that's the PC, you know. The game itself.
Transfer it to your good one?
Yeah, I'll play it on my good one. Yeah, I'll go have a look at that and see how it goes. But I think what's going to happen is, see, there's, I hovered over the refund button on it, okay? Because I was a bit like, I don't think it's that great. And I've seen all this before. But I didn't refund it because I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to go back in and I'll be interested to be able to pull this up 6 months from now and see what kind of progress they made. And they're obviously not going to make progress unless they have any money. So I'm okay with that, right?
So it's what, still early access, is it?
Oh yeah, it's like you can tell. Like it's just this is not, you know, there's a long way to go on this. The problem this is going to have over something like Vampire Survivors,
too complicated.
Not that it's too complicated in terms of what they're doing with the look and the feel and all the graphics and stuff like that. It's not as straightforward as, and I'm not saying Vampire Survivors is straight. What do I know about programming video games, right? But you can see it when you look at the difference between how the two of them look. So there's a lot of work that needs to be put into this one. So it'll be interesting to see how they tweak it. I would hope that a lot of people will be interested in it. All the reviews are positive. People like it. The people who play it really like it.
They want it to do well.
Yeah. So I'd like to hold on to that, see it do well. Because there's some tweaks and things that need to be made. Like I didn't like, it gave me, in my second run through, like it gave me a flamethrower, which was really cool. That helped me really wipe out a load of, when I was getting overwhelmed, the flamethrower was really cool. And it was a timed flamethrower. Like it, you know how the flamethrower works in Vampire Survivors? It just annihilates everything, right? So you have pretty much the same thing, but it has a cooldown and then it comes back. So it regularly helps you clear out stuff. Like, that's cool. But then I also got, like, on the trot, 2 or 3 timed upgrades. I was like, okay, your energy shields will regen for the next 120 seconds. Or, you know, you have a increased fire rate of 10% for the next 30 seconds. And I was like, those are pretty shitty, right? I felt,
That's a chosen upgrade, or is it just like a random pickup?
It was a buff. It was like, well, that's not what I want from my level up, you know?
Like, so, yeah.
Give me something to attach to.
If it was literally
neck,
like something that had fallen on the ground and you pick it up for 30 seconds, you don't get
it. Yeah, it's not like that. No, it's not. Yeah. It's
like when you get the coins thing in Vampire Survivors and just like this fucking money flying everywhere for 30 seconds or whatever.
Yeah.
So, and I feel sorry for the game in one respect because I'm judging that based on Vampire Survivors gameplay. It's like I'm almost.
Thing is, they did really nail it.
Vampire Survivors nailed it, and these guys are blatantly copying it. Mm-hmm. All right. So if you're going to blatantly copy it, fucking blatantly copy it right, you know.
Get all the good stuff that's in there as well.
But then again, I say that they could experiment with some other directions and nail it, right? And bring something completely new to the party. So I'm holding on to that, and I'm going to take a relook at it. I might play some more rounds in the near future, and then I'll probably shelve it for 6 months and go back and see how it's doing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's on sale right now. It was dirt cheap. Might be one just to pick up to have in the library.
I think it's super expensive, is it? Anyway,
no.
Maybe not. I don't know. So,
cool.
Yeah,
it looks cool. It does look cool.
No, it's all right. So yeah, that's all. That's what I've got. That's all I've been up to.
I heard about a game the other day. I haven't bought that you can play with DJ controllers, which I thought might be interesting. Like yours MIDI.
Yeah,
it works with MIDI DJ controllers called Spin Rhythm XD.
All right, I'll get to go check that out.
That might be a laugh.
All right.
I think I saw.
What should I do?
Check it out.
All right, Dave, what you got for us?
I've just got one game this week that I've been playing. I've been playing a few bit of Call of Duty, but there's not much really to talk about that. New game I've been playing is a game called... I can't remember what it's called.
Big Ambitions.
Big Ambitions, that's the one. It's an early access game. It's a business tycoon game. I think that's the best way of describing it. So it's a tycoon game, business tycoon. You start at the bottom. You buy a rent a property business, create a business. You get to choose what business it is. There's like a limited amount of sort of 8 or 9 different types of businesses, like gift shops, flower shops, things like that. You've got to stock it. You've got to staff it. You've got to generate a HQ with
IT support staff.
Not IT. IT isn't actually modeled, but you've got to buy the desks, the computers. You've got to kit it out. You've got to train everybody. You've got to rent a property where you live and eat and sleep. It's situated in New York and a few different districts of New York. It's quite a big playable area. All the buildings are rentable in one degree or another. There are other businesses, but it's not kind of like directly competing against them. There's a sort of a overarching demand for goods, and certain businesses pop up and sort of take a percentage of the demand of goods, but doesn't really have a massive impact. As I say, it's still quite early access. Not everything is sort of you can hire staff and they do have demands, but then the staff aren't really sort of modeled in that you hire them, you set their allocated hours, and that's it. You kind of, they go, sometimes they randomly do go off sick, but as long as you've got a HR department, they recruit others in. So yeah, there's a lot more. It's the typical tycoon issues where the early game is, there's a lot more in depth sort of setup of stuff. But once you've got the ball rolling, it's fine. So you
do a lot of running around watching this.
Yeah, it is a lot of running around. Yeah.
Not very tycoon like activity running around.
It's quite good. The actual city is modeled very well. But yeah, it's
almost like you're an apprentice on the TV show running around. Do you have to speak into your phone like a bellend?
There is a lot of that. There's a lot of running around. There's a lot of getting goods for your businesses, stocking them, working behind the counter when you haven't got enough staff, stuff like that. It's not massively expensive, like £10 or something I paid for it. Tycoon games, it's quite
as
good one.
I saw on Twitch it had like loads of people watching it or something. It had like loads of thousands of people watching this game on Twitch. I was like, oh, seems
yeah, yeah. It's a it's a new one. It's recently been released on Steam. They have had some early builds directly from the website, but a lot of people are sort of attaching to it. So, yeah, it seems quite popular. But again, it's got a limited sort of scope at the moment of how much you can do. But it's early access, and there is a roadmap of what they want to do going forward. So
they say how long they think it'll be in early access.
I didn't read up on that, but yeah,
it feels like a game though. It's not like it
feels like a game. Yeah. I've played what, 10-12 hours of it. And you know, I'm still playing it, but I can see there's limitations to it.
Yeah, it doesn't look like I imagined it to look. No, just here, like seeing a description of it and stuff.
Yeah. So it's all right. That's good.
How did you come across that?
I saw somebody playing it on Twitch, and I was like, nice. Oh, that looks like one of my kind of games, and it is. So
keep you off Call of Duty for a while.
That's it.
Okay. All right. Anything else? Anyone got anything else, or can we call that a show?
That's a show.
That is a show. All right, Dave, do you want to do our bit?
I'll do my bit. So I'd say thank you for listening to the Seal Podcast. If you'd like to ask us questions or get involved, please contact us either on Twitter at Seal Podcast, email us at sealpodcast@gmail.com, or join us on a Discord server. A link is pinned on Twitter. We have YouTube and Twitch channels, which we upload and stream to as much as we can. Neil, do you want to do a shout out?
Big shout outs to Mark and Arnie, our chatters of the evening, and any lurkers.
That's all we got this week.
That's the chatters. Mark's been very busy in the chat. I feel like I've been ignoring him. But
he said the same thing in the chat that I said about them having a duty of care.
Yes, he did. He did. He was very informative. I was reading it, even if I wasn't commenting. So thank you for joining.
Yes, thanks, guys. Okay, perfect. All right, gents. Appreciate the time to everyone. Thank you very much for listening. Yada, yada, yada. Same old stuff. And until next week, whatever, we'll catch you later.
See you later. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
I need a pee.